The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240. Coming to you live from the WGBB studios on beautiful Long Island. Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. Hour 2 of our radio program. Mr. Brian Graves on the other side of the glass this evening. I am your host, Tony Stabile, and we have a very, very good show for you this evening. We are going to be very hockey-centric. We are going to have the Islanders beat writer for Newsday, Arthur Staple, in just a few minutes to kind of go over everything that's been going on with the New York Islanders, especially the John Tavares situation, which seems to get more and more tense as each passing minute goes by. So we'll get to that with Arthur in just a few. And then at 8:35, we're going to talk some Rangers. They've had a big last couple of days, signing Kevin Shattenkirk, which I think everybody kind of saw coming, to a very, very friendly four-year deal, a little over $6.5 million per season. So we're going to get into that with Kevin Delury of the NYR blog, a good friend of mine, runs a very good Ranger site. You guys should check it out. So we're going to have that conversation with Kevin in the second half of our show around 9:35 or so. As always, lots going on in New York sports. Let's do a quick recap before we go to Arthur. The Mets, 7 of 8, almost pulled off a sweep with the Philadelphia Phillies today, did not get it done. Rafael Montero had a really tough second inning, and the Mets end up losing 7-1 after winning the first two games. They go into Washington tomorrow with Steven Matz. Mets have looked better. They're starting to get a little bit healthy, getting some production out of Asdrubal Cabrera. Jose Reyes is starting to hit a little bit, so it's nice to see that this is happening, though you have to wonder whether or not it's a little bit too late. Today will mark the 81st game of the season, which is exactly the halfway point. The Mets are now 5 games under 500. They're on pace for, 76 wins, I think? 76, I think 76 wins. So you have to wonder whether or not them getting hot now is going to be a little bit too late for them. You know, they're 9 games back of Washington, but, yeah, they're going to go into Washington this week, so... it's interesting to see what the Mets are doing. Also going to see whether or not they're going to become sellers or not. You know, is this run going to prevent them from dealing guys that they're not sure whether they're going to bring back next year, whether they're going to retool? So it'll be interesting the next couple of weeks for the New York Mets. The Yankees are actually heading in the opposite direction, unfortunately. They've, lost 14 of 19 now. They have been struggling big time. Injuries have plagued the Yankees recently. Losing Dustin Fowler, one of their top prospects, comes up, has a second inning, has a horrible injury in Chicago, destroys his patella tendon, and he's out for the rest of the year. They then bring up Clint Frazier. It's amazing that the Yankees had that great start. They've had a swoon here, not playing all that well, and yet they just keep bringing up these kids and they keep performing, which is amazing. They have one kid, Andujar, comes up, has a great game, and they got to send him right back down because of an injury to the first baseman. They had to bring Chris Carter back. So Clint Frazier, another prospect that they got last year in the Andrew Miller trade, comes up, hits a double and a home run yesterday. I think that was the first time a Yankee had done that in forever. So big things with Yankee talent. They're just not getting the results on the field. And hopefully they'll be able to turn that around because they were a really fun team to watch in the early part of the season. So hopefully that'll be something for the Yankees to look forward to in the second half. And the big news from Madison Square Garden this week, other than Kevin Shattenkirk, is the end of the Phil Jackson era, which I think you could say instead of era, the ERROR, because a complete disaster there. And now is there a market with Paul George heading to Oklahoma City? Is it going to be a market for Carmelo? That's the big thing. That's the big question. You know, Jackson destroyed Melo's trade value over the course of the last 18 months. Could that have all come back in one day? It's a good question because, you know, the Knicks' future may rely on that answer. You know, it's looking more and more like Steve Mills is going to end up being the president. And it's possible that the ousted David Griffin is going to end up taking over as a GM. That's at least seems to be what the reports are going to be are at this point. They're going to continue to do some interviewing. So, big things with the Knicks. The Nets, obviously, they're just, they're going to have problems. They're probably going to offer a max sheet to Otto Porter of the Washington the Wizards. Showing my age here. So, Otto will probably get a max offer from the Nets. Whether it takes it or not, that's going to be a good question. The other player that they're looking at is the kid, I would be doing you a disservice if I told you I can pronounce his first name, but the kid out of Detroit is the other guy that they're looking at, but they're not even sure that he's even going to, take the offer sheet they're going to offer as well. So the Nets, again, will have another tough year. I like the trade that they made, Brooke Lopez going to the Lakers, coming back, D'Angelo Russell. Yes, he has some maturity issues, but he's just a 21-year-old kid. So Kenny Atkinson has done a really nice job there. So I'd like to see what he could do under the tutelage of Kenny Atkinson. And Timothy Mozgov is he's a serviceable player. He's going to be a guy who can play a little bit up there, and he's going to be able to grab some rebounds. And it's going to be a tough year in Brooklyn no matter what. So to be able to get a guy like Russell in the lineup is a major thing for the Nets, because they've been dying for talent on that team. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Nets are able to do this year. We're going to get to Arthur in just a minute or two, but just to kind of set this whole thing up, if anybody saw the reports this afternoon, Carey Price, the star goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens, signed his an eight-year contract extension up there worth $10.5 million per year, average annual value. That coupled with the Connor McDavid contract, which is reportedly going to be $13.25 million per season over the course of 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. The numbers that we are looking at for John Tavares are about to go up. Everyone was thinking, $10.5 million per season. That's going to go up. John Tavares is going to be in that $11.5 to $12 million range. So, it's a little bit more than I think the Islanders were hoping that they were going to have to pay. But at this point, the guy is the franchise. Okay, whatever he wants, whatever he needs, whatever it's going to take in order to get him signed, you have to do that. Now you look at a guy like Steven Stamkos from last season, and Stamkos did the same thing. He was getting to the unrestricted free agency. He didn't commit to the team right away, kind of wanted to weigh his options, went all the way up to a week before unrestricted free agency, and ended up taking less money, a lot less money, if I remember correctly. I think he took only $8.5 million, whereas he probably would have gotten, I think the Islanders would have offered him 10 if he had hit the open market. So to see him take less money to allow the Lightning in order to build their roster and to keep their team and possibly play for a cup, it's going to be interesting to see which way Tavares goes, because we don't know what the reason is, and I'm hoping to get this out of Arthur when we actually speak to him, but we don't know whether or not that's going to be the reason he's holding back, is because he wants to see what the roster looks like. He wants to see, what kind of cap flexibility there has to be. He wants to see, how the roster is constructed and how the coaching staff does. It could be a number of different things. Or it could be the fact that he's just waiting it out and he doesn't really know what he wants to do. He wants to see about the arena. We don't know. And it's been very cryptic to this point. I think that if there was a flat-out no, if it was that, I'm really thinking that this is not going to go this way, then, I think at that point it would have been, the Islanders would have said, we need to move on from this. There's no way that we can go into the last year of this not knowing, or the fact that he's going to go. I think they would have put him on the market. The fact that he didn't hit the market, I don't want to say it's promising, but I think that, if you hear Doug Waite talk about it, and Waite is about as genuine a guy and upfront as a guy as that there is, for him to say, relax, don't worry about it, don't panic, and I think that's the comment that he made to Brian Compton when he interviewed with him, was that not to panic. This thing is not going south. He wants to be here. So there's got to be something else. It's, and the media is going to push this in the direction of he's not happy, he needs to have assurances, he needs to know where they're playing. I mean, look, they were in a much worse position coming into his out of his rookie contract. He wouldn't have signed, you know, for the contract that he did, for the length that he did, if he just wanted to get out, or if he wasn't sure that he wanted to be here. And everything that I know, and I've spoken to John, I've been in press conferences, I've heard him speak, you know, I've stood in front of him and listened to different things that he said, and he genuinely wants to be here. This is the thing. He wears the pride of the New York Islanders and being the captain of this team and being the one that's going to lead them back to being a Stanley Cup champion. That is what he wants to be, that guy. So for the idea that's out there that he's not sure he wants to be here, I don't buy that. Okay, I don't buy that at all. You know, from what I know of this guy from the minute that he walked in the door, you know, I don't buy it. So I have to see how this thing kind of plays out. I'm real interested to see how this thing plays out, I think, over the course of the rest of the season. And then to hear John, because, I mean, if you heard him on breakup day at the end of the season, it wasn't as if he was saying, "Oh, I'm not sure." He was saying that he wants to be here, but he needs to weigh all of his options and so on and so forth. And you know, the only reason why I'm not sure about the salary thing is because he's a very, very pro-union guy. He's a very, very loyal union guy. And you know that the way that these contracts work is that if you want the contract, if you want the salaries of the players behind you that aren't, you know, on the same level as you to go up, the bigger players the higher end players have to take all the money that they possibly can, because that raises the bar for everyone else. So it's certainly possible that is what has to happen. And that it's certainly possible that that's the way it's going to happen. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. I want to see what John has to say about it. I want to hear, you know, what the Islanders have to say about it, because everything that has been projected from Garth, from Waite, has been that everything is fine. Don't panic. But you know, the fact is that, you know, you're now into a couple, you know, you're in a few days into the season, into the off season, and there's no contract between the Islanders and John Tavares at this point. And rightfully so. We've talked about it on this show that, you know, Islander fans have been, you know, battered basically over the past 25 years when it comes to players. I don't even have to go through different examples over the years of players that have rejected playing here or rejected playing for the organization. So I understand it. I get it. But, plain and simple, we just have to kind of see how it goes and hope that John is the player the loyal player that he's been all along, and that he looks at what the Islanders have done and how they're constructing this team. And he's going to find that this is where he ultimately wants to be. We're still trying to get to Arthur on the line, so we're going to just continue on here. I just want to go over what's going on with the Islanders. The Jordan Eberle trade, which in my opinion is an absolute no-brainer. I mean, to Ryan Strome for Jordan Eberle is not even, you know, you don't even have to think about that. So, in my opinion, Eberle is a bona fide first line player. You know, he's a 60-70 point guy. Yes, he had a bad year last year. But 51 points on a bad year is, you know, I think Ryan Strome's best season was 50 points. So Eberle's worst season at 51 is Strome's best to this point. And I think Ryan Strome needed a change of scenery. I would have liked to have seen what he did on a full season under Doug Waite, but I can understand, you know, I definitely understand that the Islanders need to upgrade talent, and this is a big move for them. Salary wise, it made it's a little bit of a difference. Obviously, Strome was a $2.5 million. Eberle makes six, but the big trade that Snow made at the expansion draft, training Miguel Grabowski's salary basically off of their books for the final season at $5 million, and giving up a first round pick and young defenseman Jake Bischoff in order to do it, was a tremendous move. Tremendous move. I mean, to get a $5 million, whether it's one season or not, to get a $5 million salary off of your books and not take anything back, that's a good move. So, and you lose, yeah, they lost nothing because you lost a guy who wasn't coming back anyway. You know, Jay Berube, there was 0% chance. If there was negative chance that he can come back, that would be Jay Berube. So the fact that he doesn't lose anybody off of his roster, gets the $5 million off of his books and gives up a pick basically in a draft where, you know, the first round is kind of full of wild cards. You know, there was, this is a weaker draft than we've seen in years past, and they don't really lose anything. So, in my opinion, that was a great move by Snow. I've been very critical over the last 18 months of different moves that he's made, or lack of moves per se, of things that he's done or he hasn't done. So to see him pull that off was a good first step. Seeing him get Eberle was a second step. The next thing that he did was trading Travis Hamonic, who is, for me, it's a little bittersweet because I love Travis Hamonic. I love him as a player. How he plays the game, plays on the ice, how he carried himself, the things that he does in the community. The fact that he hosts kids that have lost a parent, and you know, after every game, the fact that he lost his dad at a young age, at 10 years old. So to see him to do that, and to see how he touched so many lives in the New York area on Long Island, they did ESPN did a piece on him. So to see Travis and a guy who very approachable, not only as a fan but as a member of the media, if you quote at the end of the game or before the game or you know at practice or training camp or whatever the case may be. So Travis was a good Islander. He really was, and he'll be a guy that'll definitely be remembered for the rest of the time he's in the league and there on out. But Snow with a good move there. To collect assets, which he may or may not use this week, next week, the following week, in September, or at the trading deadline. You never know. But to get a first and 2 seconds for a guy who is definitely not a top-pairing defenseman, is a guy who's a 3-4 solid guy, don't get me wrong, definitely a solid guy, but hauls like that usually are reserved for defensemen who have a little bit more offensive flair. So to see him be able to get this type of return for him was a huge thing. We now actually have Arthur on the line. I'd like to introduce Arthur Staple, the Islander beat writer for Newsday. Arthur, are you there? How you doing, buddy?
I am. Sorry about the phone issues.
No, not a problem at all, man. I totally get it. Brian was getting a little bit nervous there for a second, but glad we got you. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Everything's good. How about you?
Not too bad. Thank you, sir. Let's get right into it. Everybody on Twitter today, obviously, I'm sure you've seen plenty of it, is in panic mode over John Tavares. My first question is, I guess, with this, is that you tweeted out today he's not holding extension talks yet. Do you feel that this is a situation that is him trying to decide whether he wants to stay or whether or not he's just kind of, you know, taking his time with the market or is it an uncertainty type of thing with John?
You know, I felt all along, you know, kind of since the end of the season when the topic really started to come up in a little bit more earnestness with people that I talk to in the organization and that are close to John. You know, nobody's obviously going to commit to anything without knowing how he feels, and I think his feeling has been all along he's still leaning towards signing. He was leaning towards signing. He likes. He likes being an Islander. He likes being the captain of the Islanders. He likes the team, but I think to make such a commitment, he wants to see, you know, where things are going, and that covers a lot of different topics. It covers the front office. You know, if this team gets off to a slow start, I would imagine that Garth Snow's job would be in trouble. So he might want to see who the owners are going to bring in after that. I would imagine it has to do with the arena, and obviously, you know, that's a slow process, but I think once we get into July or August, if there is an RFP from New York State, maybe that starts to get some clarity to it, and maybe if there's more moves that this team is going to make. So, you know, I don't fault him, and really, you know, it obviously makes people nervous, and I'm sure it makes Garth Snow and the Islanders nervous to know that he's not really interested in doing this right now, as they would love to have done. You see the Canadians get Carey Price locked up, and the Caps get Evgeny Kuznetsov locked up, and there were some other guys who were a year away, Mark Edward Vlasic for San Jose. You know, you want to get some certainty into this if you're the Islanders, and I think for Tavares, it's just one more sign. You know, players don't always have the fullest control of their, you know, their situations, and I think he is exercising full control in a situation where I feel like the number that he signs for is going to be a number that pretty much of his choosing. Maybe there's going to be a little negotiation, but when I say that there's no extension talks yet, I imagine those talks says it's time. I feel like I want to sign.
It'll go pretty quick.
Not going to be too much negotiating. It's going to be close to whatever John Tavares and his agent want. And so I think him watching and waiting, and if it goes through the end of the summer, if it goes into the season, it's going to, the topic's going to come up, you know.
Right.
We don't have a whole lot of media covering this team, but certainly we go plenty of places where they have lots of media, and
it's going to come up a lot.
You know, it's going to come up a lot. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I think it's just some caution on his side, and we'll see where it leads.
Yeah, no, I get it. And that's I guess that's as best of an answer that you can hope for of if you're an Islander fan, just to wanting to know that yes, he does want to be here. But yeah, I can understand, you know, especially committing the better part of your career, the prime years of your career, that you know that you want to make sure, you know, that everything is going to be to, you know, that you're not going to get stuck in a situation where it, you know, he's not going to have the opportunity to win. You touch on something that was my next question, basically, is that do you feel that Garth Snow is done tweaking the roster, or do you see more moves on the horizon?
You know, I didn't think there was going to be anything too major. I would guess that, you know, the Matt Duchene situation, that ship seems to, if it was ever really close to happening, you know, there's been lots of discussion on Twitter about what the real offers were, what Sakic was asking for. You know, I stick by what I reported, which was, you know, a Friday of the draft, the Islanders offer was Travis Hamonic, a prospect who I don't know who it was. It wasn't Matthew Barzal, and their first round pick next year. And Sakic said no. And I, as he'd been saying, wanted quite a bit more. You know, they certainly had been looking for left-handed defensemen. You know, they have Tyson Barry. I don't know if they see Travis Hamonic as someone who could step in and play right in that top pair. So, you know, I think Hamonic was the guy that was going to be part of that deal. And since Sakic wanted more pieces, the Islanders weren't interested. So, and you can see even with teams that do have those kind of guys available, Sakic is still driving a hard bargain. So we'll see if his price comes down and if the Islanders are still interested. And, you know, you see some of the moves today. You know, it was a quick turnaround when the Caps announced that Kuznetsov signing, and everyone said, well, how are they going to fit everybody else?
And then Marcus
Johansson. They got a full roster, and then they traded Marcus Johansson to the Devils for a pretty... you know, and I think the Leafs signing Patrick Marleau, they've got a lot of forwards under contract, and so maybe the name James Van Riemsdyk comes back up in a different setting where they're not trying to get Travis Hamonic, as was discussed in some form at the draft before Hamonic went to Calgary. What the return would be, you know, maybe that's where one of those extra second round picks comes in. If the Leafs are looking to kind of thin, you know, get back to a normal playing roster up front, because they've got a lot of forwards, they've got plenty of cap space because they've got some long term injured guys, but they do have a lot of players, and maybe Van Riemsdyk is the one to go. I know he has a 10 team no trade list. I don't know if the Islanders are on it, but if they are, maybe he could be convinced to waive, but I think as of right now, and you saw the Islanders kind of make a play for Justin Williams, they were never really willing to go quite as high as he went to go to Carolina, so I think they feel like they've got some young guys who've got some NHL experience, and Anthony Beauvillier and Josh Hosang, and they want to see them grow, and they've got Matthew Barzal, who they didn't want to trade away in any deal for Matt Duchene, and they want to see him start to thrive as a professional player, and you know, if all three of those guys make it, they still have too many forwards at the Islanders. So I think they have a good feeling about what they've got right now, and maybe they're a bit against the grain when it comes to Islanders fans on Twitter, but that's usually how it goes. So I think they feel okay about where they're at right now.
I got you. Next, I'm sorry to do quick fire here, but I got only about 3 more minutes with you. So next question would be, what's your best guess on what they do with those assets that they acquired with Hamonic? Do you feel that they just kind of put them in their pocket and look at it down the road, see what happens in September with cap space, with teams maybe up against the cap and, possibly at the trade deadline? Or is it something maybe that they look to do next summer? Or is it looking like, that maybe, they're just going to put them in their pocket and wait till the right situation comes around?
I think just the scenario I mentioned, Van Riemsdyk, I don't see too many other teams that are going to get into cap trouble over the next little while here. You never know when somebody gets pushed into a corner and make a signing, overcommit to somebody. But it certainly seems like the big free agents and some of the restricted guys are really all set right now. So that, would, to me, the kind of deal that the Devils made is really the only sort of way I would see those picks coming into play before the season starts. But you could certainly see as the season goes on, if there's a key injury early on, if there's just a need, or if they're a team that gets off to a great start and tries to put themselves back in the conversation for being a top team in the East, that they could, that's the time you use those assets. As you get into the season and that next draft comes a little closer, I think teams start to realize those picks are valuable, and maybe that's a situation where you can pluck a top six forward or something that they need off another roster midway through the season. But that there's not going to be anything too major coming down the rest of this summer.
Gotcha. Last thing, you were at rookie camp this week. No Ilya Sorokin. Is there anything to that? Just the fact he's got one more year supposedly in the KHL. Is there anything that we should be worried about with the fact that he didn't come this year?
I got the impression that it was not something that was a pressing issue for the Islanders. I think he had... Sorokin had posted some pictures on Instagram. He was fishing with Semyon Varlamov in Colorado, which kind of odd timing, I guess, for him to make his way to the States but not to be at camp. Right. I think he had a long year in the KHL, and I don't think the Islanders are pushing it with him. It's the situations with KHL players are very sensitive. There's no chance for him to come over now. I think he wants to feel it. He wants to make that Russian Olympic team, and that's a big deal to him.
Right.
He certainly has a better chance now with all the NHL goalies that won't be going over back to Russia. So if he makes it and he's a player in the Olympics and does well and has a good season, then I think there'll be some more urgency after next season. But for now, I don't think they felt like, I think the Islanders already know what they have.
Understood.
They really liked it. So nothing needed this time around, I guess.
Absolutely. Arthur, I can't thank you enough. Sorry we had to cut you short, but we'd love to have you on down the road, and have a great summer, man, and hopefully we'll have this conversation again towards training camp.
All right, you got it, Tony. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Arthur. Arthur Staple, beat writer for the New York Islanders for Newsday. Some interesting things there. He thinks that it's not going to be a... it's not going to be a real busy summer the rest of the way for the Islanders with these picks. So let's kind of see what happens there. We're going to take a break. Come back, Kevin Delury of the NYR blog. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form. And let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Talk 1240 here on WGBB, 1240 AM, beautiful Long Island. Hot weekend, July 4th weekend. Hope everybody has a safe 4th of July for all of us that have to go into work tomorrow. I feel very bad for you as well. But we are going to get into some Rangers talk right now. We have Kevin Delury of the NYR blog coming on with us right now. Kevin, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Tony, how are things? Happy 4th of July, man.
And to you, too, man. Thanks so much for doing this. Congratulations. You guys have had a very good weekend. Talk a little bit about your new signing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get the number one defenseman on the market and in free agency this summer. You know, normally, I mean, as a Ranger fan, we're sort of used to this. We usually get the big dog that's out there, but the thing that's different this year is that we got a guy who really wanted to come to the team, and because he did, he took less term and less money that he probably would have gotten from other teams. You know, him being a New Rochelle native and a Ranger fan growing up as a kid, you know, this was like a lifelong dream for him. And, you know, the Rangers and the fans are sort of reaping the benefits here. So, you know, Shattenkirk is the right-handed power play threat that the Rangers haven't had, on the team in who knows how long. The power play, it seems, every year has been a disaster for the Rangers. It seems like it's the one thing that's always holding them back year after year, and especially in the playoffs, it seems as though they can never get anything going on the power play. So you hope that, you know, with Shattenkirk now in the fold, you know, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, this has been the rumor for quite some time that Shattenkirk wanted to play for the Rangers. Just the fact that he took the shorter term, still decent salary, $6.5 million, is probably in the same ballpark, I guess. It was a little over six, right? What was 6.68, I think you got?
Yeah, 6.65, I think.
Okay, so it's right in the same, it's in the ballpark, which I think everyone kind of figured he would get between $6.5 and $7 million. Everyone knows he's not a number one defenseman. He's not he's not known for his defense, but that's good because he doesn't have to do that for the Rangers because they already have Ryan McDonough. This is exactly the position that they needed. They needed an offensive defenseman. They needed a guy who could run the power play, which I think, you know, Sergei Zubov, I believe, was the last guy who can run, was the last defenseman that could run the power play that played for the Rangers. So this is a big move for the Rangers, and kind of couple it, you know, which is a little surprising because you couple it with the moves that they made before the draft last week, trading Stepan and Antti Raanta, and you know, trading for you know, the seventh overall pick and then making that pick. It kind of seemed that we talked about this, you and I, a week ago, that this was, you know, looked like almost like not like a rebuild but like a refresh of the Ranger roster, and then they go out and get a guy that's like a win now kind of a piece. So, you know, what do you think about, you know, how these two moves, you know, kind of go in separate directions?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you sign a Shattenkirk, that's sort of a win now move.
Right.
But, you know, they're still missing two centers up the middle.
Right.
And after, you know, yesterday and today, there's really not a big name center left on the market for them to sign.
Right.
Which is a bit frightening, you know, as a Ranger fan, because you think they're going to be in this win now mode. Now, who are they going to put down the middle? I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in Zibanejad and Hayes to be their top two guys.
Right.
And now you still have to fill in three and four. I mean, you've seen all the top guys go. So Thornton just re-signed for a year with San Jose.
$8 million.
And he was a guy who was sort of, put with the Rangers as someone the Rangers might be interested in and linked to the Rangers. So, you know, he's gone, and you saw, you know, Bonino gone, Hansel is gone, Gagne is gone. So, you know, where do the Rangers turn now? I mean, it looks, if they're going to want to bring anyone in at this point, it's probably going to have to be through a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we spoke about this last week. I just don't know what kind of assets the Rangers have right now to bring in, you know, at least a top flight center. They don't have the assets. Well, if they want to bring in a true number one guy, that's going to, you know, lead this team. Or, hey, look, do you have faith in Zibanejad and Hayes? And then maybe you could trade for, you know, Toronto just brought in Marleau for a huge, huge amount of money. I think they're actually over the cap now. So they may be looking to make a move. Maybe you can get a Tyler Bozak from them, which would be a nice move for the Rangers to add some depth down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Ryan Nugent-Hopkins maybe as someone that the Rangers could probably, I mean, he may cost them a number one pick.
The price on him is high.
Yeah, so, you know, but really, I don't see anyone out there, in free agency center-wise, you know, for the Rangers again, which is quite frightening, because you did make this win-now move, but I tell you what, you look down the middle, that's not a Stanley Cup contending, you know, center position for the Rangers right now.
No, I agree with you. I mean, what do you have? You have Zibanejad, who, you know, they were hoping that would become like a 1A kind of a guy when they acquired him. He had some injury problems, and then when he came back in the first game, he went on fire and then kind of disappeared after that for a bit. Kevin Hayes, as you talked about, is a guy who played well, I think, in that number two center spot. Any thought of moving maybe JT Miller back into the middle?
I mean, I've seen it mentioned, but he's much better on the wing. You know, he's played both positions for the Rangers. I think he's better with a little less responsibility on the wing. You know, he sort of had a breakout year last year on the wing. So I think the Rangers would like to leave him there.
Mm.
So I think that they'd rather go outside the system or outside, you know, the organization to try to bring someone in. You know, they also drafted their number 7 pick overall, Anderson. You know, he was supposed to be one of the most NHL-ready picks, sort of a safe pick. And I think they're going to give him a chance to make the roster. I mean, he could be potentially, on opening night, their fourth-line center, this kid Anderson that they got from Sweden. So, you know, he's an interesting guy to sort of keep an eye on. Heading into training camp for the Rangers.
Right. Absolutely. And not only did you lose Stepan, who is a guy who'd been around here since he was drafted and, you know, great face-off guy. Was never really a number one center, but, you know, ended up being thrust into that role. But then you lose Oscar Lindbergh in the expansion draft, and he was really like your bottom six center that you go to center. So not, you have to get a guy from the, you know, at the top and a guy at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great position for the Rangers to be in. But you know what? I actually have faith in Jeff Gordon. He's done a really tremendous job as the Rangers GM.
I agree.
Since taking over. I mean, he revamped the forwards last year. You know, he really turned them around where he did make the Brassard for Zibanejad trade where he got them younger.
Right.
You know, he's got, they gave the young guys, a real opportunity where you have a guy like Buchnevich giving him a chance. They made the trade for Smith at the deadline last
Another
year and
move.
Then re-signed him, mm-hmm. which was that was a great trade. He was phenomenal in the postseason, brought some sort a little grit, toughness to the blue line, which the Rangers have been lacking for the last couple of years. So, you know, I really have a lot of faith in Gordon. Now obviously he made the tough move to buy out Girardi, which, you know, saved their
done.
Yeah, I mean, it did. Unfortunately, that's not an easy decision. You know, you look at Girardi's performance on the ice, and you would think it's an easy decision. But he's been, you know, he grew up in the organization. He's been there through all the success over the last decade. So it's not easy to say goodbye to a guy who's really put his body on the line for the organization.
Heart and soul guy. Yeah, heart and soul guy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, it'll be very strange to not see him on the ice this year for the Rangers. But, you know, Gordon made the tough decision there. The Rangers' defense was a bottom five, in my opinion, defense last year. And now, if you look at this defense, at least the top four, I mean, in my opinion, the top four on the Rangers are top five, top four defense in the league right now. Mm. Now, the problem is that you get a real fall off, after that top four.
Right, from four to five.
Yeah, exactly. You still have Mark Staal, who's sort of like Girardi, you know. He's been through all the battles, and he's just physically sort of run down. Holden was up and down last year. He scored a lot of goals early, but he had an unsustainable shooting percentage, which sort of reared its ugly head in the second half of the season. And, you know, him and Staal are on the ice for some last-minute goals in the playoffs when they were sort of giving games away to Ottawa. And then they got this younger guy, Anthony D'Angelo, in the trade for Stepan, who's supposed to be a player. Sounds like a bit of a head case.
He is a bit of a head case. He's supremely talented kid.
Yes.
Supremely talented kid. But he is definitely a little bit of a head case.
So I'd like to see him get a chance. I mean, because the good thing, obviously, are Shattenkirk on the point on the top power play. And you can give D'Angelo minutes on the second power play on the other point, which will be nice, a nice addition as well. And what that actually does is McDonough's been playing the power play point. He's really not a power play point defenseman.
Right.
You know,
right.
It'll cut down his minutes a little, which will allow him to sort of play his game. I really think Shattenkirk and McDonough are going to play really well together. They're going to play off each other real well. Mm. I mean, you know, when you're going to go from McDonough and Girardi to McDonough and Shattenkirk, I mean, that's a big time difference as your number one.
Mobility wise alone, because Shattenkirk it may not be the best defensive defenseman in the league, but he's definitely moves a hell of a lot better than Girardi does. So, I mean, that's a plus right there. And you're absolutely right. I think that would be a good tandem because Shattenkirk needs to play with somebody responsible, and to put him out there with McDonough would be the perfect situation for him because it would let him roam a little bit and give him a little bit of a space that he needs. So I agree with you. I think that's going to be a hell of a tandem.
Yeah, I think Shattenkirk gets a little too much, flack for being having defensive issues. I mean, you know, the guy's one of the top offensive D-men, and what happens is when you're top offensive D-men, you have the puck and the other team doesn't. So, you know, in this day and age of analytics and Corsi and all that, you know, he's at the top of the list there as far as defensemen. I mean, you know, if he has the puck, the other team doesn't. So, and again, like you had mentioned, when he's with a McDonough, you know, he's able to maybe take a couple more chances as well, where he knows he has that reliable McDonough behind him. So, yeah, I agree. I think the two of them are going to play off each other real well. And then you have the solid second pair, where they're a very similar tandem, where you have Shea and Smith.
Right.
You have the defensively responsible Smith, and you have the offensive-minded Shea.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be, again, it's gone from a real negative on the defensive end to a positive. And now, ironically, the forwards have sort of taken a step back.
Well, that's what you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's what it happens.
Exactly. But I think there are, like I mentioned with Bozak and maybe Hopkins, there are some savvy moves that Gordon can make. And I have faith in him that he'll make them.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's, unfortunately, when you're in a team, when you have a team like the Rangers over the last couple of years that have kind of been cap strapped, unfortunately, you're going to have to take away from one to improve the other. And that seems to be what has happened here because they need to get younger because you had, 5 years almost without having a first round pick. So, to get to this year is a good step because you needed to infuse some younger players into the organization, some high-end younger players. So they did that with the Stepan trade. They get his contract out of here before his no-trade clause kicked in, which would have been kicked in off on Saturday. And then, they end up signing Shattenkirk. The Smith move was a no-brainer for them, not only just acquiring him but bringing him in. But, I guess my next question is that, where do you think they go from here? I mean, do you think at this point that this roster that you're looking at at right now is basically the finished product. I mean, this is where they're gonna end up being for the rest of this year, of the summer.
No, I they can't. I mean, they can't go into next season with the centers looking the way they are. I mean, they're set on wing. I mean, they have no problem. I mean, you have the Zuccarellos and Nash and JT Miller and Foss and you know, all these players. So I and Grabner. So on the wing, you're fine. I'm 100% confident with the wings going into the season, as well as the defense. Obviously, goaltending, the Rangers picked up Pavlik to fill in for Ronta, who they traded in the Stepan deal. But no, I mean, they cannot go into the season with the centers as currently constructed. I mean, you know, who are they putting in there at this point? I mean, you have another young center who was in Hartford last year, Bunieves. I don't think he's ready to take the next step for them. Again, I mentioned Anderson before. You know, I don't think you're putting two guys with basically zero NHL experience, you know, as your second and third line centers going in. So I think the Rangers don't have a choice but to make a move to bring in another center, especially when you look at the rest of the Metro and how good it's gotten so far this offseason. Obviously, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh and Washington are going to be at the top. You know, they're going to be competitive. Like, you know, the Islanders have gotten Eberle. Columbus has been making moves where they got Panarin and a couple of other players. So, and New Jersey has actually made a couple of nice little moves where they picked up the former Ranger Brian Boyle. I saw they got Johansson.
Got Johansson
type
for a song.
Yeah. So, you know, all these teams are getting much, much better, and the Rangers are going to be out of the playoffs, I think, despite Shattenkirk, despite Smith. You know, and still having Nash on the team and Zuccarello, you know, if they don't figure out, you know, the pivot situation, you know, on this team.
Well, that's, I wanted to get to my next question because, you know, obviously with the New York Rangers, the big position has always been, you know, since he's been in town at least, has been Henrik Lundqvist. And, you know, he's 35 years old now. He's obviously statistically wise come back to earth a little bit, over the last two seasons. Antti Raanta, you knew obviously was going to be lost, to unrestricted free agency last year. So to be able to package him in a deal this year, you get some assets back. In the trade with Arizona, they sign Andre Pavlik, who has spent the last few years with the Winnipeg Jets, who is really never was able to cement himself as a starter. What do you see happening here? Do you see, you know, Pavlik getting 30, 35 starts this year and trying to, you know, lessen Hank's workload, trying to keep him, you know, fresher? Or, you know, is maybe the fact that he's not playing as many games, you know, causing him to be not as sharp as he's been in years past?
No, I think that, yeah, you have to give Pavlik, you know, 25 to 30 games. You know, hopefully he's up for it. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's been very inconsistent in his career. So the Rangers have to hope their goalie whisperer, Benoit Allaire, can get
this guy's
head straight and his game straight.
You love that guy.
I do. I mean, look, he's turned Talbot and Antti Raanta into number one goaltenders in this league, and they were backup goaltenders, you know, during their careers before they came to Rangers. I think for Pavlik, it's a real smart move coming here and hoping, you know, a lot less pressure than he had as the starter in Winnipeg. You know, he could work with Allaire on his game. It's a one-year deal, and hopefully he comes out of it on his end, you know, and maybe he could come out as a starter next year. As far as the Rangers go, you get a guy who he has the skill set to be very good in the NHL. You know, I haven't followed Winnipeg that greatly, you know, so I don't know if the issue is more, you know, defensively where he wasn't getting help, because his years were inconsistent. He did have some very good seasons, so it's not like he's a complete lost cause. I think Allaire will have, you know, enough to work with to get him in the position to give the Rangers a solid, you know, like I said, 25 to 30 starts, because I think it is important for Lundqvist, because you've seen the last couple of years that he's gotten injured. He's become a little injury prone these last couple of years, so I think he does need the rest. Because last year he was out a significant amount of time, and then he was real good in the playoffs. He was sort of the old Lundqvist in the playoffs after a down regular season where he didn't play that many games due to injury. I think it showed that the rest will actually help him now that he's getting into, you know, his late 30s. I think the more rest you can give Lundqvist, the better you are. Now, the problem is this. Is Pavlik going to give you the same performances that Raanta and Talbot have the last couple of years?
Well, because that's
if
the
he can't, because if he can't, then you do have to lean on Lundqvist. Because, again, the Metro division is so good, you can't just be giving games away because you want to rest Lundqvist. You're almost going to have to lean on him. And by the time you get in the playoffs, he's going to be exhausted. The guy's going to be run down. So, you know, I felt, you know, I was hoping they were going to be first able to hang on to Raanta in the expansion draft because I thought he was someone that Vegas was going to target. And when they didn't select him, I was pretty excited because I thought he was going to be a key to the season because I do think that Lundqvist needs rest. Unfortunately, now that he was part of the Stepan trade, you know, the backup goaltender, you don't think it's a big deal, but I think when you have an aging goaltender, it becomes more and more important because want to get him rest because you're going to need, you know, you need these guys down that whether it's down the stretch or in the playoffs, you can't have a burnt out Lundqvist, you know, come April and May.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and he kind of my next question is that, you know, he signed for the next 4 years. OK, he signed through 2021. That'll bring you to the age of 39. You know, he's a beloved player in New York. If his numbers continue to tread downward, you know, I mean, where do you see this? Where do you see this going? I mean, do you see an end game for this? Where is this going to go out gracefully, or is, you know, is there a possibility that in a couple of years you could be looking at, you know, Ranger fans calling for Lundqvist to be bought out?
Wow, you know, that's just an amazing scenario that I can't even sort of wrap my head around.
Exactly,
you know,
it's tough to even say, but consider. But at this point, you have to think about it. No,
my hope is this: the Rangers have a stud goaltender in Russia right now, Shesterkin, and he plays with the actually his teammates with the Islanders.
They're
on the national team together. So my hope is that he'll be ready to come over maybe in 2 years, where then they could sort of ease him in and sort of ease Lundqvist out.
That would be a good scenario.
I think that would be, you know, perfect case scenario, you know, the dream situation for Ranger fans and Lundqvist, the passing of the torch type thing where he goes out gracefully. You know, and on good terms with the team as he leaves them in good hands with the heir apparent. You know, you hope that's how it works out. You know, but, what is it? God laughs at all good plans or something like that. So, you never know what's going to happen down the road. But, you know, for me, that's, I think, the way the Rangers have it set up, where this guy, Shesterkin, is going to be ready to take over hopefully in a couple of years and, you know, where he's, comes in and takes some of the workload from Lundqvist and they ease him in. And like I said, they ease Lundqvist out. That would be the perfect scenario. And he could, hopefully Lundqvist can ride off into the sunset, maybe with a Stanley Cup, hopefully, thankfully, you know, which would be nice for him. I mean, he's going to go down, unfortunately, sort of the Don Mattingly of the Rangers or the Patrick Ewing of the Knicks.
Eddie Jockman was a great goaltender, never won a Stanley Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, Jockman, unfortunately, you know, obviously we all know he was traded away, but, you know, if Lundqvist, goes out as a Ranger without a cup, it really is going to be a shame. I mean, I think we're all going to look back at that LA Kings series and, you know, that was it and they were in, you know, they had lost three of those games in overtime, two in double overtime. I mean, they were there for the take. I mean, that was it. And, you know, you're really going to look back on that and really sort of shake your head and you know, wish it was able to happen for the guy because, you know, there's no athlete I've seen, and I'm sure other people watch other teams would disagree, but I've never seen a guy, you know, who wants to win as bad as this guy, who hates losing as much as this guy. You know, there's reports that, you know, he gets angry when he gets scored on in practice. And, you know, the guy has been Mr. Ranger, you know, I know that's sort of Roger Bear's sort of nickname, but, you know, he has carried this team on his shoulders since he's come in the league. I mean, the Rangers over the years have been an average team at best, and he has made them, you know, an elite team single-handedly.
Oh, he's been their star player since he arrived on the scene.
Especially when you look at the blue lines that he's played in front of. I mean, we've talked about sort of the deteriorating of Girardi and Stahl, and, you know, you can go through the list of some of the just god-awful defenseman that he's played in front of over the years. You know, the Roman Hamrlechs and the, you know, the Darius Kasparaitis and, you know, all these guys. So, you know, he has been the one, one constant for the Rangers over the years, that the one reliable guy. And yeah, you know, I, like I said, I don't even want to think about sort of his downfall and maybe in the next couple of years, but you know, it happens to the best of them. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just, you hope that, something's in place where, you know, he could bow out gracefully.
Well, I hope so. I absolutely do. The guy's been class ever since he walked in the door. Kevin, I can't thank you enough for spending your Sunday night with us talking to some Rangers. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and on the internet.
Yeah, I'm at Kevin DeLorey on Twitter. The blog, myrangersblog.com. You know, it's lighthearted, you know, not too serious. You know, sort of take the lighter side of things. You know, I think everybody these days, everything's too serious, analytical, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I try to take a lighthearted look at things, so a little bit different.
I appreciate it. It's a great job that you do out there, and keep up the good work, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your summer.
All right, you too, buddy. Happy Fourth, man.
You too. Kevin DeLorey from the NYR Ranger blog. That's it for my time here tonight. I want to thank Brian Graves being on the other side of the glass with us. It is 4th of July weekend. Everybody have a very safe and a very fun 4th of July. I will be back here next month. Have a good night, everybody.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.